Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. Today we have Mr. Sean Kober, otherwise known as Kobes or Coach Kobes. And we're here at my house in Thailand, and I've decided to do the podcast video version with my staircase behind, because trust me, this guy is going to help you take your life to the next level. I loved doing the research. I've known about you for a few months. Weirdly, we've worked/trained at the same gym for years, and we've never met each other. So crazy. Big shout out to Lee and Clive for introducing us. Dude, you are the epitome of, or you are an epitome, a perfect example of high performance. And there's a lot of things I want to ask you, and I'm looking forward to asking you. I have a lot of notes. But before we start, I just want to give you or give the audience an intro to you. And I don't want to get it wrong, because I know you're a coach, athlete, strength conditioning coach. But I want to make sure I get the name of the podcast right. Live, Train, Perform podcast. Same on YouTube. And the Coached by Kobes brand. You're a mindset and performance coach like myself. You've worn many hats across successful careers like myself. You've been a soldier, not like myself, but also a personal trainer and a S&C coach, strength and conditioning coach with multiple world champions, which I'm looking forward to talking to you about. Dude, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to connecting. As you mentioned, we've had a lot of crossover where we had a potential to meet, but it just hasn't happened. So It's cool to sit down with you, have this conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
And I appreciate you coming down to my home to do this. I look forward to hopefully doing another podcast on your side. Mm-hmm. You're doing a lot of things right now. And it seems like, you know, you've got professional athletes, you're traveling with the athletes, you train at Tiger Muay Thai, you also are building a website with programs. Like, who is Coach Kobes today?
That is the million-dollar question. That is something that I'm literally trying to figure out, man. Because about 9 months ago, you know, had some changes in circumstances in my professional life. And I ended up resigning from a job that I'd worked hard to get into.
Where were you?
I was the head fitness coach at Tiger Muay Thai.
Right.
Yeah, I resigned from that role because I didn't like the direction that some of the decision making was taking the gym, essentially. Yeah. So I resigned, and then I was just kind of like figuring out what my next steps were going to be, you know, whether I would stay here in Thailand and persevere and figure out a way to continue building the thing that I've been trying to build for the last 5.5 years since I've been here, or whether I just, you know, cut ties and walk away and go and spend time with my mum and, you know, figure out the next step, or whether I fucked off to Bali and, you know, just hid away where nobody knew me for 6 months and just put my head down and build my business. So essentially the last 9 months, man, I've been trying to figure that out. I'm still trying to figure out who Coach Kobes is, because that basically is my identity now. You know, and that's the thing, man, like, we're constantly needing to create an identity, because if we don't have an identity, we don't have a purpose. And the thing is, like, if we don't need to be the same identity all the time.
Agree.
Like, I am a coach from these hours. I am, you asked me before, how do I introduce you? Is it Coach Kobes? Is it Kobes? Is it Kobe? Is it Koba? Is it Sean? And like, what did I say? It depends.
Depends,
like, you know, we're constantly wearing different hats. My identity right now is Coach Kobes. And I need to build that. I said this to you offline, like, I don't know who Coach Kobes is. I built my business. I've been, you know, 10 years in the industry as a PT, strength and conditioning coach, working with, you know, everyone from the general population, people just trying to lose weight, right through to, you know, world champions in multiple mixed martial arts organizations. You know, the same principles apply with each one of those audiences. It's just about refining that message and kind of giving people a lot of what they need and a little bit of what they want. I kind of lost my train of thought then, man. I kind of went all over the place. But I'm sure it'll come back to me what my point was in that.
I think it was just that little basically tangent. Explaining that you're still figuring it out, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, that you have different identities depending on where you're immersed in and who you're with. I totally mm-hmm. agree.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the direction, you know, that's what I do as a performance coach, is I help people get clarity in that direction. But, you know, we're not here to talk about that. We can talk about that another time. But something that I know that you have a strong identity in, and that is high performance
mm-hmm.
and showing up as a high performer.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to your, obviously you've been a soldier. I've listened to about 20 of your videos or watched 20 of your videos. And dude, you're probably more structured than most people that I've ever met or spoken to. You're like, here's my morning routine. I do. And you're like, no, I do it like this. And then I do this. And then I do this. And sometimes I change it like this. And, you know, we'll get to that later in the conversation, like winning your morning and how important is that. But one of the things you talk about a lot is, I'm going to call it showing up.
Mm.
You refer to it as consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Many people try to do too much too soon and they burn out. And I'm going to ask some selfish questions today because mm-hmm. I have a lot of fitness goals and I really feel like you can help me. But I'll ask it in a way that I feel is valuable to mm-hmm. everyone. But
I'll answer it in that way.
Yeah, I'm really interested to know like how you can help me, and I'm glad that we found each other, quote unquote, because now I actually know where to come and find you and at mm-hmm. what time and on what day. So trust me, I'm definitely going to do that because I'm inspired by the work that you do. You know, going back to consistency. My audience or our audience is mostly business people, successful in one area, but they're not tapped into their full potential because they know they've compromised in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe they go on a diet or they go to Tiger Muay Thai or another gym and do a 12-week transformation. But then they go back to life and they fall backwards again. Like, how important is consistency? As in minimally showing up. You talk about momentum like me, the hardest part is getting going. How important is consistency and showing up every single day versus, oh, I've got to nail a 1 or a 2 hour workout or a 30 minute meditation?
Consistency is king, man. Like, this is a marathon.
Yeah.
Like, life is a marathon. And again, like going back to what I was saying before, wearing different hats, having different identities, like I'm sure there's been times when you were the athlete, you were the coach, you were the author, you were right now you're the podcaster.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can only be consistent in so many areas of our life, and we need to prioritize where we're gonna focus on putting our consistency. There should be some non-negotiables when it comes to consistency, right? Like, yes, you might be a hard charger where, you know, you're growing a business and you're building a team and you're trying to build your empire, and of course you're going to be consistent in that, but you also need to consistently take breaks and pull back, have like long weekends off or maybe a week off, or you know, go for digital detoxes or something like that over 3, 4, 5 days or whatever. Just kind of get into a different state and a different perspective, man. You know what it's like when you're traveling, you're away from the thing, and then you can take an objective view rather than like only being able to see this, like with that subjective view being in it. So, you know, consistency, man, like again, what are you being consistent with? Are you consistently paying off the things you know are going to improve your sleep and your overall health and your immune system and your hormone regulation and your training and your da-da-da-da-da? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're paying that stuff off, then you're being consistent in the wrong direction. Like, sometimes consistency is about adding one thing in. What's one thing that I can do today that's going to have a flow-on effect? Like a cornerstone habit. You know, do you have cornerstone habits?
Dude, you're literally touching on everything that I've written down for this episode. Like everything you've just mentioned, sleep, retreating.
He sent me the persistence.
No, I didn't. You've almost said every single thing. So I know this is going to be a good conversation, man. I'm imagining that your level of consistency was massively influenced by being in the military and being a soldier. Can you share a bit about what it was like when you were in the military, your role, and also as much as you want to share, of course, and how big a part, because when it comes to physical and mental resilience and toughness, I can't imagine that there's anything more resilient and mentally tough than the military. What role does consistency play in being able to thrive under pressure?
What role does consistency play specifically?
Like if you just
in
like
that context?
Yeah, so if you were in the military.
I can't say it's just consistency, man. Like consistency is one thing, but you also need to have the mindset to go, right, like
Dude,
I need to
come to that yet. I'm joking. Yeah, you need to have the mindset.
Yeah, it's not just consistency. Like consistency is great, man, but you also need the right mindset of again going, like, what am I gonna be consistent with? Mm. I'm gonna make that fucking commitment to myself. Mm. Like that I'm gonna make that promise to myself. And that holds you accountable. Are you a fucking man of your word? Do people trust your word and what you say? Like, if you can't trust your own word and what you say, why the fuck should anyone else?
So
you know,
true.
So we need to focus on what we're going to be consistent with. Whether that's, I'm going to be consistent with doing 10 minutes of mobility work every day for the next 6 weeks, whatever. That's going to be my challenge when I do release my 6 week challenge.
Yeah.
Can you do 10 minutes of mobility or stability every day for 6 weeks?
To people listening that have all the excuses in the world for keeping high performance habits, fitness habits, nutrition habits, is there a benefit, in your opinion, to doing 5 minutes of a good habit versus nothing at all?
100%.
100%.
If you're not going to do something positive, you're just fucking sitting in the middle and you're not going anywhere. But if you can do something, one little thing, for 5 minutes that just tips momentum in the right direction. Do that for a day, do that for a week, do that for a month, do that for 3 months, do that for, and that little momentum shifter, that one fucking thing that you're doing every day, like that's how you change your life. Do that shit for years, you fucking show up and you do it consistently, and you also consistently assess and go, I'm going to stop doing this thing because that's, I create momentum in this direction and now I do that thing and it fucking puts the brakes on. Now I'm back to the middle, right? I'm going to add one thing, 5 minutes, create momentum. All right, what's creating friction here? What's one thing I can now remove? Repeat that process.
Add, remove, 1%
exactly,
changes.
Man. Exactly. That's it.
And this wasn't actually part of my questions, but you've obviously worked with some of the best athletes in the world, including being in Peter Yan's corner in the UFC.
Still one, blows my mind.
One championship corners or one championship fighters, including, is it Phantom Weight champion? Fabricio, what's his name?
I've worked with Fabricio, but I've never really been involved in his camps long term.
Didn't someone you just train win a championship belt a few weeks ago? Or did they win their fight at one championship?
I've had a lot of fighters fight recently, so.
And it's crazy.
Had Brendan Loughnan won the PFL championship last year, featherweight title.
He must have been doing your class, because I would see him in the fitness area doing hardcore training.
I did some PTs with him to start his season.
That's
so they fight like four Brendan, times in 8 months, man.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
They need to be peaking at the right time, you know. So we had a really solid camp to start his season, and then like literally the last training session, he fucking blew his knee, man. So the next couple of weeks was just like I was just pumping him with rehab drills. And then like he came out and, you know, faced some adversity in the first two fights and then just like hit his strength.
Yeah.
And just went on and just dominated in the final. So, you know, and that's what it's about, man. Like, that's what I'm bringing to these fighters, these typically known as individual sport athletes. You know, I'm taking that rugby, military, team environment and trying to recreate that culture. Wow. Where you've got people that are showing up to train with each other and be training partners. Like, this person's got a fight coming up, so this person's got a fight coming up, so we're going to get you guys are going to come and train with him. You guys aren't in camp right now, but you're just going to get around him, help him out, be training partners. His opponent is a strong wrestler, so yeah, we need you to be offensive grappling. Boom, 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 boom. You need to play a role, right? And then obviously, as we go through different stages of the year, then different people are getting the focus. So that's where I'm at the moment, man. I mean, we kind of touched on it before, the online coaching thing. What I'm really passionate about, man, is training athletes, training professional athletes, right? Like, and most coaches, when they want, well, most PTs, when they start out, most coaches, when they start out, they're like, I want to work with professional athletes. That was always my goal when I got out of the army. And, you know, made a lot of sacrifices to get to this point, and I walked away from a relationship with a girl I loved and cared about to come to Tiger and, you know, have an opportunity to take up a 2-month internship. And then after a month, I got offered a full-time gig. After 6 months, I became the head coach. And the whole time, I was like trying to build this program. And it got to a point after, again, 5.5 years where shit was happening. And I was like, all right, well, I've tried to build this here. Mm. I was okay with how things were before. But if this is the standard moving forward, I'm fucking out. I'm going to go and do this on my own.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah, exactly, man. So I don't even know where the fuck I was going with that. Sorry.
In a good direction, man. It's been a very good direction so far. Once again, you just touched on another thing that I'm going to talk to you about. One of the things being, you just shared the best thing that you love about what you do. I was going to ask you about that, being a person of your word. Literally, we've ticked out like 14 out of 15 things. We'll be definitely going
to bang it out, Barry.
Yeah, I'm still going to elaborate on that. I'm going to get my selfish question out of the way.
Oh, I've got more coffee.
Yes. Here's my selfish question, and I know you don't know this because, well, we've not spoken before. So I did a bit of Muay Thai in my 20s. I'm 41 now. And I was always naturally good. Had a few pro fights. I got like all my height is in my legs. Mm-hmm. I got crazy teeps and knees.
Cardio for days.
Yeah, but I never took it seriously because I was always focused on business and building a successful business. Then when I was 37, I was like, man, I'm getting old. If I don't go all in now, I'm never going to know who I could have been. So January 1st, 2019, I was like, I'm just going to go all in on Muay Thai this year. Won my first two fights, TKO, amateur, in the UK, and then got hit by a car and had both of my legs broken. And my coach said, if you do four more like that, I'll put you up for a belt. And just like a UK federation or fight organization. I've spent the last 3 years in recovery. My body's still not recovered. But this year, I'm like, man, it would have been super inspiring if I got back into even just one pro fight at 37. But then I thought in my recovery, man, if I can do this at 41, like surely that's going to inspire a lot of people that are 40 and already developing bellies, giving up on life, etc. I love asking really honest questions that might shock me. I also like being challenged on my own beliefs. I'd love to know your honest opinion, because sometimes I'm delusionally optimistic. Do you think it's possible for someone at 41 that's done sport all of their life to get into even one pro fight and do well, not get bashed up? And I'm asking because I'm at a crossroads in my life right now where I'm like, I still want to go all in. I've gone to the fighters camp and I've been like, give me a fight. And they just won't give me one.
Well, it depends what you want out of it, man. Like, why do you want that? Is it to prove to yourself that you can get back in there? And
one, I love Muay Thai and sport in general more than anything else. If I'm not, I have a saying, if I'm not competing, I'm not living. And that can be an ultra marathon on my own, but it's me facing me. I never want to give up. One of my hashtags is never settle. Mm-hmm. Also, my mission in life, or my ikigai, if you know the Japanese mm-hmm. exercise for finding your purpose, is to inspire. So one, I love it. Two, why not inspire people by doing what you love? And three, I love challenging beliefs. Mm-hmm. And the belief that, this particular belief that I'd be breaking is, you're too old. Mm-hmm. And what kind of message would that help people with? My challenge is I train a few days, get really good, done a bit of sparring, clinching with the pro guys, the Tiger. But then, because of my age, after day two, day three, I'm fucked. And then I have to rest, and I probably self-sabotage, and then I come back again. Like, you know, don't tell me what I want to hear. You told me that you give me what they need to hear. Do you think it's actually possible?
Of course, man. But first of all, you need to fucking reframe what you're saying. Simply saying, too old, you're reinforcing that. So after a couple of days, you're like, oh, I just can't keep up anymore. I need to take a few days off, right? Rather go, I'm going to test myself. I'm going to fight. That means I need to fucking prepare my body and my mind to go into battle. So training becomes about building the armor, right? And sharpening the axe. Training becomes, I'm preparing my body and my mind for this training session. I know that I'm going to be doing a lot of these repetitive movements. So I'm going to get in 15, 20 minutes early. I'm going to prepare the tissues. I'm going to do some activation work for the opposing muscles. I'm going to do like some nice light movement and reactive drills so I can start priming. And then also going, what am I getting out of this session? What's the intent for this session? If this session is to fucking kill myself, then all right, sweet. I know ahead of time it's probably going to fuck me up for a couple of days. But if your intent is, hey, today's Tuesday, I know I've got 3-4 more days of hard training ahead of me. Yesterday I had a hard sparring session. Today I'm going to make it a little bit lighter. I'm going to make it a little bit more aerobic. I'm taking the speed and the power off, right? And I'm prepping the body going into the session. I have an intent for what I'm getting out of the session, and then I'm, you know, doing some recovery work to kick off that recovery process at the end of the session, right? And then you're undulating your training sessions. If Monday's a hard day, Tuesday's going to be a light day. Wednesday's maybe a moderate day. Thursday, depends. What is that session? That's a sparring session. All right, cool. I know I'm going to get a little bit harder then, so Friday is going to be a lighter day. Mm-hmm. Right, and you kind of just, you've only got so much energy, man. You only got so much energy to give, so you need to preserve it, right? So again, you, like every fucking day, man, I'm like, this is where my energy's going today. Like this podcast, like I trained this morning, kickboxing, right? Then I did a little bit of networking. I'm over here. I'm, you know, I want to have a good conversation with you. I'm like, this is where my energy's going today. Mm-hmm. I still need some energy after this for a PT. Right, and then I've got a little bit of energy system conditioning this afternoon. I'm fucking tired, man. It's the end of the week. I'm 6 weeks into a training camp. I want to fight before I turn 38. Like, I'm building to a crescendo, right? And that's what we talk about. We talk about consistency, right? I'm consistently in the gym, but I'm not consistently training fucking hard. I'm consistently giving myself what my body needs so that I'm walking out of the gym feeling better than when I walked in.
I'm so glad I asked you that question. I've just realized, and it just sounds so stupid because I've been in fitness all of my life. I just realized what I do wrong. I think that for me to be a pro fighter, I have to go as hard as possible. Yeah. And every single training session, I go as hard as possible. And I've just realized in reflection now that some of the trainers kind of like, they're like, no, you hold pads for him. I don't want to hold pads for him. Mm. And I realize it's because I'm just think that I have to go hard, but actually I could work on muscle memory. I could work on balance. I could work on rhythm. Mobility. I don't
work on rhythm. Boom, boom, boom. Work on head movement. Don't have to be fucking smashing pads, man.
Is it okay to like, and we'll move on from this, but is it okay? I think this is still a valuable question or a valuable answer to this question that could be helpful to other people. Is it okay to turn up to a session and do like 50%? Because I think if I'm doing 50%, that they're thinking he should be more powerful than this.
100%, man. Who gives a fuck what everyone else thinks? You know, at the end of the day, like, if you know exactly why you're going into the gym, all right, put your blinkers on. People are afraid to walk into the gym, man. People get intimidated in the gym. They think that people are looking at them. Like, if you stand up and look around in the gym, there's not a single fucking person looking at you.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their headphones in, doing their own thing. Like, you're going to the gym for yourself. Here's how I think about this, man. I talk about this with my... I've only got a couple of clients, like in-person clients at the moment, just to support my pay my rent, fucking basically. Yeah. a couple of high-paying clients pay my rent here. The rest of my time is like building my online business and then working with my athletes. You know, I've got a good lifestyle here. Where was I going with that? Sorry.
So you're just talking about the way you train new athletes, I imagine, based on managing your energy and not doing too much at one time, or not. Basically.
Sorry, I lost that train of thought.
That's all right. Don't
worry. Sorry, guys. I'm all over the place here.
That's okay, man. Well, look, I appreciate you answering that question because...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. The point was, like, you're going into that session with an intent.
See, this isn't... When you said that before, a few minutes ago, this is what I don't do.
Uh-huh.
I just think, train hard.
Yeah. Well, that's your intent.
Yeah. But it's failing me every time.
Exactly. And when it's failing you... Like, it's reinforcing your fucking mindset is that you're old, right? So reframe that. I'm not old. I just need to focus more on recovery and look after my fucking body. You don't get an old car and just fucking thrash it. You got to look after it, man. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to run it into the ground. You got miles on the clock, bro.
Sick fucking answer. Sick answer.
We all have miles on the clock.
For those that are listening on audio, I just took a big, deep breath in, and that made me take a sigh of relief because, honestly, part of my identity is wrapped up in being an athlete. I just love it. I want to do it till I'm 100 years old. You see these podcasts of people like 101 do. Like, that's me. That's what I love to do more than anything in the world.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You need to, that reference point of what an athlete is.
Yeah.
Right? Think about a Usain Bolt, bro. We talk about consistency. Like, that dude is not fucking peaking at 100% for 4 years, right? There's A races, there's B races, there's C races where, all right, I've got 6 months before this next meet. This is what we're going to focus on. This is what we're going to strengthen. We're going to play around this technique a little bit. We're going to make some adjustments. Let's put that all together. Let's peak at the right time. Let's see how we go. All right, we ran a little bit slower than last time. All right, let's turn this dial back. Let's turn this dial up. Let's make some adjustments. Aim for this next fucking target. Build, hit the crescendo. Go through that period, rest, recover, repeat. That's what consistency is about, man. It's just fucking showing up and making sure that you're doing whatever you need to do to stay in the game. Because if you're not in the fucking game, you're going backwards.
I can't wait to go back and listen to what you just said. Do whatever you need to do to stay in the game. Because it's when you fall out of the game or behind the game, that's when you're challenged and your beliefs, negative beliefs or limiting beliefs settle in.
That's it, man.
Dude, amazing answer. Thank you so much, Sean. You know, like I shared before, it made me take a sigh of relief, a breath. And something that I talk about and teach on is breath, breathing, breath work. I know that you speak about that too. For people listening, because some people, the idea of breath work is some super spiritual thing that you need to do whilst meditating.
It used to be for me as well.
What role has understanding breath at a deep level, what role has it played in your own life and in in your athlete's performance?
It's been massive, man. Been massive, and I mean, it's a fucking low-hanging fruit. Come on,
can you explain?
It's a low-hanging fruit, man. Like, think about it like this, dude. Like, we right now we're operating off oxygen, right? That is our fuel source. If we have oxygen, we're sweet. But if we don't have oxygen for how long? 4 minutes,
die-ish.
We're dead, right? We can go 30-ish days without water. What about food? Oh, days, water, what am I? Minutes, days, weeks, years. Oxygen, water, food, exercise. What do people focus on? Food. Exercise. Exercise is important. Exercise is important, but you can get a lot more out of your exercise. Again, what's your intent? If you're doing aerobic work, your intent is to improve your aerobic capacity, right? or aerobic efficiency. If you don't know how to fucking breathe properly, you're missing out on all these benefits.
Potential.
Yeah. Mm. So for me, it's become like one of the foundations for everything else that I do.
And once again, keeping in alignment with consistency. A lot of people are like, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I saw in one of your videos, you said, I literally take 20 breaths in the morning. Mm-hmm. I do something similar. Actually, weirdly, it is 20 breaths. I have a thing called 1-10-1. So I count mm-hmm. 1, 2 at the end of my breath, go to 10, back to 1. And then I get mm-hmm. out of bed. I do not get out of bed until I've done that. Mm-hmm. And it's so beneficial, man. Because even sometimes for me, I can wake up being totally immersed in my head.
Yeah.
And then I just come back to my breath and just regulate my breathing and my energy. Mm-hmm. And you do it outside while taking care of your circadian rhythms and getting some sunlight?
Yeah. As soon as I wake up, my first steps of just program this is just wake up, like walk over, open the blinds, open the doors, try and, you know, sometimes it's dark, sometimes light, depends when I wake up. Mm. And then get out, get some sunshine in the eyes, lay down, do my breath, and then I might get up and stretch after that. Or, I mean, there's many different ways that I'll add breath work in depending on what's going on. I went to the float tank the other day and just did my breath work in there.
The one on the soil?
An hour, yeah.
So amazing. Yeah. It's the best float tank I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, it's sick, man. I'll do some breath work in my sauna. I mean, conditioning work is breath work for me. Like, if I'm at the track and I'm running 800s, then, you know, that
is... Is there a track here in Phuket?
Yeah, up near Central. Yeah, it's 400-meter track. 400-meter track.
I think I need to do some coaching with you, man. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're at the track, 800 meters, breath work.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, I'm doing breath work a couple mornings a week. And sometimes I do it at night time. As long as I get some in during the day. Like,
do you encourage your athletes to do breath work?
Oh, 100%, man. Like, if we're doing conditioning work, I'm like, you have 1 minute. Sit down. Deep breaths in. Long breaths out. The more we can reduce your heart rate between rounds, the more blue-headed you're going to be, the more cool, calm, collected you're going to be, and the more you're going to be in a position to be able to push the pace. However, if your fucking heart rate's still jacked up and you're coming out and you're in this kind of panic state, you've got all this like massive amounts of cortisol and adrenaline shit, you're chasing stuff, start overextending, then you get caught, right? Technique starts getting a little bit sloppy. So I'm using that stuff between sprint work, for example. Let's focus on the breathing. Bring that heart rate back down as much as we can. Drive that parasympathetic nervous system within that sympathetic state.
Yeah.
Try and focus on creating calm within the chaos.
This is something that I actually talk about a lot when it comes to meditation and breath. I have this thing model called C's for self-confidence, and the final C is calm. Mm-hmm. I posted something the other day saying you can't find the clarity you want in the chaos you're in. Mm-hmm. You need to find that calmness. Mm-hmm. And you know, you said you take your athletes to focus them on breath to aid their recovery, speed up their recovery between sets. Would you say, I know the answer for this already, but for everyone listening, would you say that it's the same for life? Being, you know, go all in, do your next quote unquote workout or mission or sprint or marathon, and then recover and utilize your breath to recover as efficiently as possible. So then when you come back into your next, whatever your action is, you can perform at a higher level.
What do you think my answer is going to be?
Yes, of course.
Well, the thing is, man, like when we talk about the autonomic nervous system,
yeah,
which controls 80-90% of the physiological processes in the body, like, you know, the two branches, the three branches, depending on how people look at it, but two main branches: sympathetic state, stress response, right, fight or flight; parasympathetic state, relaxed response, rest and digest, right? And then there's also enteric nervous system, gut health, immune system, etc. But, you know, here's the thing, man. People think stress is bad. Stress is not bad. Stress is essential for adaptation, right? But that adaptation only occurs once we first recover from that stress, right? That means that, hey, I need to, what does that mean? I need to recover from that stress. I go to the gym, I add stress. Same physiological response occurs if a fucking lion walks out of the jungle, right? Pupils dilate, heart rate increases, respiratory rate increases, hormones change, hormone profile changes, da 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 da, now you're all jacked up, ready to go, right? That's the stress response. If we want to adapt, that's the point of training, is to recover and adapt. So now we've improved our armor so that we can now go through that same stress again and perform at a higher level, right? When we finish a training session, we need to remember that, because if I don't recover from this week's training load, then I'm not actually getting better next week, and there's a point of diminishing returns where I start going backwards, right? So I need to manage that. I need to, again, be consistent in showing up and doing the shit that I need to do to keep myself in the game.
Very powerful answer and very valuable for me. Thank you so much. Rest and recovery, I've learned, and only in the last few years in my life.
Well, dude, that's the simplest way to kick off the recovery process. You finish that stress response at the gym, lay down, get in your body, just focus on your breath, take 20 breaths. You've now just driven the parasympathetic nervous system, right? Now when you go eat your food, you're able to digest, absorb, assimilate those nutrients and then push them to the systems that have just been put under stress, right? But if you don't downregulate that sympathetic nervous system, upregulate that parasympathetic nervous system, then you know, you're like, fuck, I'm not gonna have another time to eat. I'm just gonna force this food in even though I'm not hungry. You're fighting against biology, man. You've just created stress. Your brain's like, I'm fucking under threat. I actually can't have anything in my digestive system right now. You're force feeding something in there, and then you wonder why you feel shit for hours afterwards.
Interesting.
Right? So if we can drive the parasympathetic nervous system, take 10, 20 breaths after, you will literally feel your muscles relax. All right, now you're in a better position to be able to, now you're probably gonna be able to soak up that water and electrolytes a lot better. All right, your body's actually gonna be able to use that stuff that's coming in now.
I have some days where I'm really good. I stretch 15, 20 minutes after. And reflection now, I think it's those days that generally my energy is stable for the rest of the day. Whereas sometimes I grab my bag, put on my shirt, run to my first meeting, and then 2-3 hours later, I'm absolutely knackered. And it's probably because my body still thinks I'm working out.
Well, that's exactly. You're still producing cortisol and adrenaline, bro. Again, you're still producing cortisol and adrenaline, right? What happens when you have a massive fucking adrenaline dump? You're fucked afterwards. That happened to me in Afghanistan, bro. Like, you know, first patrol that, like, we got ambushed in Afghanistan. Like, I slept for hours after that patrol just because we just went through this massive adrenaline dump where it's just on fucking high alert for hours, right? And then once you get a chance to calm down, like, you, again, it's that swing. You drive that sympathetic nervous system, your body has to swing back the other way because that's where recovery comes from. You can't stay in that fucking heightened state for extended periods. And this is where, you know, PTSD, anxiety, depression, shit like that occurs when you're in this heightened state all the time and people don't have these tools to downregulate the sympathetic nervous system and upregulate parasympathetic nervous system and tell the brain, hey, you're fucking cool, you're safe, like, don't need to be on high alert all the time. Save that energy for something else. And again, bro, like, I mean, we're going fucking pretty deep here. Like,
no, dude, you know, I'm loving it.
A lot of guys, like, low testosterone. Why? If you're in this heightened state all the time, like, testosterone is produced from cholesterol. Cholesterol also produces cortisol, right? So if your cholesterol is going towards cortisol all the time,
you can't produce testosterone.
Exactly.
This is a game-changing moment for me because I've just realized that I'm not even convinced just by spending this short time with you that I'm exhausted from my training. I think there's a potential that I'm exhausted and think I'm not recovering because I'm not doing that after my workouts. I'm going on to the next thing and the next thing. And the body only knows you're either in stress or you're not.
Exactly.
So I might be working and doing this and going for a cycle or going to my next meeting, but the body thinks he's worked out now for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm crashing at the end of the day. Dude, massive. Thank you so much.
And man, then you probably get really fucking hungry and you're like, oh, I need to eat everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your body's like literally like, all right, now you've fucking had a chance to slow down. Like, you've been burning the candle over there. We need to replace that energy.
I'm excited now, man. I'm excited to get back to training, just some of the things that you mentioned. Skill is not enough. I believe that at my core. You've said something very similar, and that related to skill not being enough. If skill was enough, everyone could go train with you and they would all get to the same level. The reason why certain people don't, yes, there's genetics and stuff as well, but psychology trumps skill every single day. In your opinion, working with your athletes, how important is confidence when it comes to reaching your full potential in life or in sport versus just practicing, practicing, practicing?
Confidence is essential. I mean, again, it comes down to, do you trust your word? Mm. Like, if you're not confident in fucking answering a yes to that, then you've got some work to do. Mm. Like, and again, that comes down to that, like, consistency. How can you trust your word? You need to do things that you know that you can do, that you can fucking stack the wins. So you can build that self-esteem, you can build that confidence, right? When you have that confidence, like, when that confidence builds, it, when your confidence is low, your ability to take a step away from your current location is very limited.
Yeah,
but decreases. When you build that confidence, man, that circle gets bigger, and also that horizon gets fucking bigger as well, right? When you've got confidence in being able to, like myself, when I resigned from my fucking dream job like 9 months ago, right? I did that with confidence that my fucking body of work that I've built over, you know, 2 decades as a soldier, as a rugby player, as an athlete, as a PT, as a coach, I had confidence that my body of work would fucking allow me to fall on my feet, whatever happened.
So the confidence is backed by evidence.
Exactly, man. Like, it's all well and good to fucking say that you're going to do X, Y, Z, but are you really confident in being able to back that up?
Something that I speak about a lot, and you're talking about it now, you've spoken about it in one of your videos I watched, and that is being a person of your word. I come from a psychology background partly, and when people say they're going to do something, let's say a workout, and they do it, they gather evidence for, I've set a goal and I achieved it, regardless of the size of the workout. But what most people don't realize is when you say you're going to do it and you don't do it, a signal is sent to the brain going, he's not a person of his word. How important, I know you've touched on it, but let's go a bit deeper. How important is being a person of your word when it comes to confidence, achieving your goals?
It's everything, man. It's everything. Like, if you, again, if you can't stand behind your word, like, why should anyone else?
Boom.
That's how I think about it, man. And the thing is, like, some people don't like me for that attitude, right? But it's what works for me, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'd prefer to be a man of my word and have people don't like me because I'm like, I take a stance on a subject.
Me too.
Right?
Either you stand for what you stand for, or you stand for what everyone else stands for, or you stand for nothing.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, you need to know how do you build confidence? You need to know who the fuck you are. Mm. You need to know what you value. You need to know, you know, what traits make up your character. Mm. You need to know that, you know, your word means something. How do you do that? Provide evidence to yourself.
Provide evidence.
In whatever fucking means necessary. What's the minimal effective dose that you can do? You know, we talk about fitness, man. Like, there's so many principles that you learn in fitness and strength and conditioning, periodization, so on and so forth, that apply to life, right? Minimal effective dose. Again, how can I keep myself in the game long term? Right? Minimal effective dose. Sometimes I'm pushing hard. Sometimes I'm pulling back. Sometimes it's on the spectrum of, like, how much work I'm doing. Sometimes I might do, you know, some preparation work for 20 minutes where it's all mobility, stability, it's all restorative work. And then I'm doing 20 minutes of, like, hard speed work or power work. And then I'm doing 20 minutes of restoration work again.
Yeah.
Right? I ramp up into the session and then I go, right, my hard work's going to be 20 minutes. My intent is boom, boom, boom. I'm focusing on this energy system. And then I kick off that recovery process. Drive the parasympathetic nervous system after I've just driven the sympathetic. Rinse and repeat over a week, over a month, over a season. What's a season, man? Like, you know, as I think we were talking about this earlier, you're not always wearing the same hat.
Mm.
You know, for the last 6 months, I've been wearing the hat of like an entrepreneur building a business.
Yeah.
Right. My coaching hat, I'm still wearing that, but it's only for certain periods. Right. It's majority like, of the time, yeah. I'm wearing my business hat.
It's like what you would call the winter. The winter is when you go inside and do the work, getting ready for the summer coming up.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
you're not out there performing everything. No, you're head down, doing what needs to get done.
Exactly, man. I mean, this is, again, consistency. Like, what are you being consistent with? What's your priorities? What do you value? Like, what's your identity right now? What's going to give you, what's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck? You know, and sometimes that is, I'm focusing on business, but for me to be able to do that, I need to invest 10 minutes a day into some movement because I know it benefits me. And there's all these, I mean, that's one of those messages that we need to talk about as well, is like, you need to teach people how it benefits them, right? Just fucking do it for 6 weeks. You'll feel it, guaranteed. Money back guaranteed.
Once again, build the evidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
don't take our word for it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't just go, oh fuck, 2 weeks into it, I'm you know, it's hard, I don't like it anymore. Like, all right, you're just sending that fucking signal again that you're not a person of your word. Mm. You can't stick to fucking one thing because you're not seeing results right now. Like, you're the kid that fucking eating the marshmallow straight away, not the kid that's
the marshmallow test.
Yeah, the marshmallow test. If you guys don't know what that is, go and look it up. It's not about instant gratification. This is the world that we live in, bro. People need this instant gratification. Like, if you're doing the right thing in the gym and you're moving, you're, you know, adding stress when necessary, you're reducing stress when necessary. Dude, like, if you're going to the gym for an hour a day, let's say an hour a day, if you've got an hour a day, 3 times a week, like, don't you want to make sure that you're getting something very fucking specific from those 3 hours that you're investing in that? Sometimes that is adding stress to the system so you can get better at something. Sometimes that is about, you know, reducing stress in the system and recovering from, you know, these other stresses that are coming in from the world.
I'm going to jump straight to one of my last points because you just touched on it, persistence. I believe that you need to be both persistent and patient. What's your thoughts on that? Because yes, you need persistence to push yourself outside your comfort zone. You will never change unless you even go 1%. You know, Arnie has the famous quote, between 1 to 10 reps, what's the one that change makes the difference? The 11th rep or something like that. How important is being persistent and as well as patient?
I mean, persistence is a double-edged sword, right? Like, if you, again, if you're persistent in the right direction with the right things.
Like, I was persistent in the wrong direction.
Well, that's the thing, like,
in training intensity anyway.
Yeah, and that's it, man. Like, what are you being persistent at? You know, persistence, if you, I mean, awareness is one of those points that comes up if we're talking about persistence. Like, what are you being persistent at? Why are you being persistent in those ways? Like, why do you continue to overtrain? Right, there's probably like some belief there that we need to change,
Or lack of knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, maybe the persistence should be, all right, I see what you're saying about, you know, keeping myself in the game. So I'm going to try this for the next 6 weeks. Be persistent of going, I'm going to target 2 hard training sessions a week, and then the other 3 days or whatever it's going to be recovery. And then maybe that's week one, and then week two, maybe I'm doing 3 hard sessions that week. And then week 4, week 3, whatever, is 4 hard sessions that week and 1 recovery session, whatever it might be. And then you pull it back again. It's like you step it up and then you pull it back, rest, recover, boom, 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 build it again, right? Keep yourself in the game, do that for 6 weeks and go, all right, sweet. I'm in a good position. My body is much better able to handle these stresses coming in without breaking down because I'm doing some restoration work, I'm doing some activation work, I'm doing some mobility work, I'm doing some exercises and drills that's countering these repetitive movements that could cause repetitive strain injuries.
Yeah. Awesome. Retreating.
Retreating?
Retreating is the next topic. I'll elaborate. I said a few years ago that a holiday, in my opinion, is one of the greatest universities in the world. you mentioned before about being in it. Mm. I call it being in the arena, you know, or being on the field. You're a football player. You can't get a holistic perspective when you're always in the game, whether that's business or sport. How important is retreating to the sideline, to the locker room, to a, you know, to a retreat, so that you can get clarity and come back better? Because I know that this is something that you do. I've done log cabins, I've done retreats, I run retreats, and I know you do the same. For people listening and watching, in your opinion, how important is it to step out of your life and to come back?
It's extremely important. In my mind, like, it's, I've always... Just a different perspective, man. It's always given me a different perspective. It's always... I don't know, I can't even explain it. Like, I don't know, what are your thoughts?
I think it's that I can see my own blind spots because I'm looking at my life from a different angle. Which, if you look at a car driving, you can't see your blind spot. Move your head to a different position and you can see what you can't see. So it allows me to do that, but also it allows me to slow down. And by slowing down, I hate the saying, but it's true. By slowing down, you're able to speed up because you can actually gather your thoughts. But also, when you're busy, your immune system is going down, 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 or it can be. And when you go to some kind of retreat and you sleep and you rest and you eat well, you fill up your tank. And when you fill up your tank, you think better.
Yeah. Right?
Like, you know, when you're half empty, you don't have your best thoughts.
Yeah.
So how can you create the best solutions for your life? Do you run retreats? You don't?
No.
I guess in a way, people come and do retreats as in fight camps and they get out of their life and come immerse themselves training with you.
I don't know, man. Like, retreats.
Maybe retreat isn't a good word.
Yeah, I don't like that word.
So immersion.
Because it's got a, it's immersion. I would like that better than retreat. Because retreat means like you're out of the fight. You know, and the other thing for me as well, like being in the industry for 10 years, like, you know, I've seen this many times out here, is like people come out here for retreats and they are immersed in this environment where like things are literally structured for them, where they train 2-3 times a day, they're eating 1800 calories and they're blah 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 blah, like everything's laid out for them, it's fucking easy, man, and they lose 5-6 kilos whilst they're here in a week, but that's because they probably cut out all the bullshit rubbish they've been eating at home, and they've put themselves into, they've given their body a chance to actually rest, recover, drive that path. Well, maybe they haven't because they're training, they're just switching stresses for stresses, but anyway, like, I don't like, unless people are being taught how to take these principles and apply them back home in their own lives, like...
Which is what you do in Coach
that's,
Coach, right?
I mean, that's you. Are you really creating impact in someone's life if they come and see you for 2 weeks and you get them to lose 5 kilos and, you know, by simply training 3 times a day and eating 1800 calories, but then they can't use any of these fucking tools at home and then they start beating themselves up because they can't maintain that same discipline and structure? Like, I don't know, I prefer to have that like longer term approach of, again, taking, I wouldn't say retreat, but taking time away. And it's not even, I mean, sometimes I'll take a month off. Sometimes I'll take 6 weeks off. Sometimes it'll be just a weekend.
When you say off, you mean like not working at all or not delivering your work?
Well, I was at home recently. No, sorry. I went to Bali for 10 days and then I was here back in Thailand for 10 days and then I was back home in Australia for like 2 weeks. And it's caught up with so many people, but, you know, I think I recorded like 1 or 2 YouTube videos, and like 3 hours of work in that time. But so the rest of the time was just like completely fucking switched off, man.
For 6 weeks, man, that must have been awesome. I would like to do that. I went in last year, ordained as a Buddhist monk for a month. That was like the greatest retreat. I'm not going to use retreat because now I'm thinking of the military. Retreat. I took some time for myself. and it was one of the most powerful moments in my life. And actually, we run retreats. I feel like we need to change the name now. But definitely when we bring people to Thailand, we'll be bringing people to do some training with you. I mean, actually, you only do pro, hey? Do you ever do bespoke stuff for like a group coming and they can pay you for like a fitness class?
That's something I'll look at, yeah. All right. The main focus right now is building my online business. And I mean, that's probably going to be the focus for the next 3 months or so. But once I've got that to a good place where, you know, then I'll start opening up my availability. This is one of those years, man, where I'm just not making myself available to many people. Just putting my head down and fucking building my empire.
There's a, talking about empire, there's a saying, the greatest CEOs in the world know how to say no more than anyone else.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, man.
Yeah.
Especially when you're sought after coach and people want to work with you, and you're working in a place which is probably, in my opinion, the fitness mecca of the world in terms of a street.
Yeah.
You must have plenty of people coming to say, can you do this? Can you do that? Like me, like I just
asked.
Yeah,
for sure,
you.
Man. For sure. And I mean, again, like I'm just protecting my time.
Yeah.
You know, again, but the thing is, like, I'm in a position where I've got that body of work behind me to be in a position to say no. Like my time is fucking valuable and I'm investing it here. So unfortunately that means I'm saying no to all of this.
Mm. To people listening, what? How much power is there in saying no to things that aren't serving you?
I mean, that comes back to building your confidence, right? Like, if you can't say no to shit that's not serving you, then are you really confident in who you are, what you want, what you value?
Yeah.
You know, the direction that you're moving.
Yeah, and being a person of your word. Yeah, because if you're doing things that don't serve you, do you actually believe that you can get to where you want to go?
Listen, man,
otherwise you wouldn't be doing it.
People have a priority whether they name them or not. Like, their actions will be an indicator of like what they actually prioritize
and what their identity is, who they believe they
exactly
are. Quick, you don't have to go into this deep, you don't have to go deep into this, but I've never heard this said like this before. What is a cornerstone habit?
Never heard of a cornerstone habit?
Never.
Oh, no shit.
In 19 years I've been coaching.
Wow, man.
I'm assuming like it's,
dude,
like
as
the
soon
habit,
as I say it, you're gonna be like, oh, that's this.
I'm assuming it's the habit you do most non-negotiably.
What just happened then? Oh, sorry, dude.
That's all right. Yeah, it's the habit you do most non-negotiably.
Well, a cornerstone habit is just one of those things that just like, you do that one thing and it creates a domino effect. When I do this one thing, for me, if I get out of bed and I go and do my meditation first thing in the morning, then boom, 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 boom. Like that becomes that one thing that then sets off a chain reaction.
Yeah, the one thing that affects everything else.
Yeah, if I have an hour in the morning, then my one cornerstone habit may be fucking dragging a kettlebell along the bottom of my pool.
Yeah.
Because now I'm doing some breath work, I'm creating that calm within the chaos, I'm earning my first dopamine hit. When I do that, my cornerstone habit is different to when I'm meditating in the morning. My cornerstone habit is different to just that one thing that
kicks
off the chain reaction.
So for me, my cornerstone habit is fitness. Sometimes it's meditation, but it's either that or one or the other or both. Really, my cornerstone habit is if I move and meditate, my day is always better. Do you change yours every day depending on what's required from your energy or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's, again, like if that one thing that happens when I drag the kettlebell along the bottom of the pool, like I can't go through the rest of my morning routine. I literally just have to be a zombie, man. I fucking get out of bed. I normally make my bed first thing in the morning. I just get out of bed. I grab my fucking mask and I walk to the pool, man. And I grab the kettlebell. No flinch. Boom, boom, boom.
What do you mean you grab your mask?
My swimming mask.
Oh, right. I thought you meant like a gas mask. I'm like, dude, you're hardcore. I'd love to see a video
just,
of
just
that.
Protect my eyes, bro. But, you know, like, like, I have to be a zombie then because I fucking hate doing it. Like, I'm a shit swimmer. I'm terrified of suffocating. I fucking hate doing it, man. But I do it. And, like, that one thing is, like, get out of bed, grab your mask, and just zombie over there. Otherwise, if I think about it, I won't do it. And by the time I kind of come to and I'm like, fuck, I've already done 3 laps. And then I'm like, all right, a couple more to go. Sweet.
So you're swinging it and then moving with the kettlebell?
No, I get in the pool and I put my mask on, I take a breath, and then I drag the kettlebell.
Dude,
along the bottom of the pool.
You just give me another workout. I have one pool and one kettlebell outside.
And then I get to the other side, and normally, like, I'm not rushing, right?
Yeah.
The goal is to take about 40 to 60 seconds. And the more control I have in my brain, because all I want to do is come up and get oxygen, yeah, more control I have to, hey, it's cool. I know in another 15 seconds I'm going to get that air. Calm within the chaos. Then I come up, I've only got 5 breaths.
Mm.
Before I have to go down. So if I come up and I'm like, guess what? I'm fucking down and working again.
Mm.
I'm only going to make it halfway. I need to create that calm. Now is my breath work, different breath work, different type of meditation, right? I'm creating a different response.
Mm.
I'm creating parasympathetic in a stress state or a sympathetic state.
Yeah.
Whereas other mornings where I'm going doing my breath work and my meditation on the balcony, I literally, like, my morning routine is going to be different then, right? Then I'll get up, I'll open the blinds, get the air in, turn the aircon off, make my bed, and then ginger, turmeric, coconut water, shot, brush my teeth, and then I'm out on the balcony in my chair. 3, 2, 1. My goal is take 20 breaths in around about 5 minutes.
Mm.
Right. And I can get a...
that's super slow.
I can feel if I'm at, like, if I take my 20 breaths and I hit my stopwatch and I'm at 4 minutes 30, I know I'm probably in a sympathetic state. Right. Maybe I haven't slept very well. Maybe I'm a little bit run down.
Mm.
Then I know, all right, training today was supposed to be hard. Even just that data then. Then I can also clarify that with what's going on with heart rate variability, mm, and waking heart rate and that type of stuff. Right, so then that data gives me information to how I'm going to conduct myself that day.
Right? I love it.
I'm a little bit stressed out, so today was going to be a hard sparring session. I'm going to back it off a little bit. Maybe I still do a little bit of hard work, but instead of doing, yeah, 5 hard rounds, I might only do 2 hard rounds.
We have a coaching model called Ask, Assess, Adjust. And you're literally doing this every day, ask and assess and adjusting. What's my cornerstone habit today? Where's my, yeah, energy? What system am I in? What's needed for me next? And I just love how you talk about calm to chaos, chaos to calm, or to calm from chaos. What role, no, let me ask a better question. Cold exposure, does that help people go from chaos to calm? And how?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all of these are principles, right? And like when we talk about driving the parasympathetic nervous system within a sympathetic environment, I mean, that's what we're essentially doing. So that stimulus doesn't really matter,
mm,
right? For me, fucking dragging a kettlebell along the bottom of the pool, like I would prefer to get up and get in an ice bath every single morning. I'd prefer that than dragging a kettlebell along the bottom of the pool.
Wow.
I fucking hate it, man. But I do it, right? That because I'm building like the armor, man. I'm, yeah, building the armor. I'm like, I've done something fucking hard already today. I don't like doing it,
mm,
but that's why I need to just zombie it out. I don't think about it. I just fucking do it. In the army, man, embrace the suck. It's gonna be shit that fucking happens.
There you go.
That is gonna suck, and it's like, here's the cool thing about the army, man. And this is a good point for those listening as well, those watching, man. It's like you gotta have a network of people that are gonna have your back, because when shit was happening in the army, and you're like, you look at each other and you're like, are these guys fucking serious? We're going to be out there in fucking, you know, minus degrees for the next 3 weeks, freezing our fucking asses off, playing war games, wow, sitting in a fucking trench that we've dug in freezing cold water and rain that's fucking, you know, wind that's screaming through. You're like, all right. But you also need to think, like, if we're going to do our fucking job overseas in Afghanistan, we need to be prepared. Mm. And if we're not fucking building that body of evidence that we can persevere through adversity, we haven't how the fuck are we going to be confident to be able to go overseas and go, you know what, I've got a body of work behind me, I'm fucking ready to go.
This is what, before I forget, doing what's uncomfortable every day, having non-negotiable habits is about building the evidence that reassures you that when shit hits the fan, you've got what it takes.
Exactly.
And if you're not doing that, next time your business falls apart, your relationship falls apart, your health falls apart, you might not recover because mm-hmm. you've not set yourself up yep. to be able to thrive in that discomfort or adversity. Dude, I love what you're about. I've got so many more questions. I want to be respectful of your time, and I know you've got a meeting soon. Just a few more questions, if that's okay.
Sure, bro.
I know you said it again, but I'm interested to see if the same answer comes up. You said it before, but I'm interested to see if the same answer comes up. What is the best thing, the thing that you love most about what you do?
It's having impact. It's having impact on people's lives. Built a good lifestyle for myself. I enjoy what I do. I get to work with people that are on the same path of, you know, trying to be at their best. And that's something that I miss from the army, man, is like, you know, going through fucking difficult things with people and then going, you know what, whatever happens, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. And this is something that I found, unfortunately, since I got out of the army, man, is like people just don't give a fuck about each other. And they will like backstab each other so they can get ahead.
That's strong, man.
Like, I don't want to be associated with those motherfuckers, man. I want people around me that are gonna, I mean, perfect example is like I said I went back home to Australia. My last day in Australia, man, I caught up with three guys with a combined friendship of 60 years in one day, man. Like, my people I've got fucking deep relationships. I don't have many friends here in Thailand, right, because I haven't had all of those experiences that have, you know, that build friendships on the same level as what I had when I was in the army. Doesn't mean that I don't have friends here, and doesn't mean that I don't care about people here. Just means that those relationships are different.
They're different, yeah.
Because, you know, when you're in those environments where you are going through difficult times together and you are fucking embracing the suck together, like, you have to work together, man.
You have to.
I did together. Something. I posted something on my Instagram recently. Of I can't remember. I don't know who was filming it, but it was when we're on just about to step out on patrol in Afghanistan. My sniper team was getting ready, putting all of our gear on. There was someone filming like through a night vision goggle, so you could see it all, man. And like we're prepping all the kit and like prepping our weapon systems and all that sort of stuff. And it was like, why do I miss this so much? And it was a reel that went for about a minute. It's like, why do I miss this so much? And it's like, you know, these guys are my forever family because I shared these experiences with them. We didn't always see eye to eye. But when that fucking door closed, all we had was each other. And then, like, we're closing the door as we're stepping out on a night patrol, you know, to go and set something up. And at the end of the day, man, like, if you don't have... You have to have people around you that... you know, you vibe with, that's on the same wavelength, that are striving to be at their best as well.
I think...
Because, like, the people either... You've either got people, you know, I'm sure people have experienced this. I'm sure you've experienced this when you're trying to get to the next step and then people keep trying to pull you back down. It's like the fucking crab in the bucket analogy, right? Most people are going to try and pull you back down, but there'll be that, like, one or two people that's like, you know what? You deserve better. Let's fucking get you out of here. And they give you a little push up. And then you might have one or two people that are trying to pull you up from above whilst other people are trying to kick you back down into that level, right? And that's what it's about, man. It's about fucking elevating yourself each time. Level
new
up.
New people.
Yeah, not necessarily. Yeah, of course you need to network.
You're going
to
need new.
Of course, you need a few new faces. And the thing is, man, the more... This is why I'm fucking so deep with my friends, right? Because every single time that I've leveled up, they've been there for me, bro.
Wow.
They've been there pushing me up. They've been there pulling me to the next level. You know what I mean? Like, they're the fucking people that you want in your life.
You're lucky to have those people, man. Because I've leveled up many, many times in my life and changed up many times. Mm. And unfortunately, the cost of that has been very little people. You know, I'm very happy my clients and my friends, but like you're saying, like from childhood or whatever, you leave people behind, and people don't like feeling left behind. Mm-hmm. They don't like being rejected. But I do believe that probably the most significant thing in shaping who you are is who you're around. Mm-hmm. And I know lots of people talk about that. You're the sum of the people you spend the most time with. To give an example that everyone can relate to, fitness. Mm-hmm. You know, hang out with people that don't keep fit. It's going to be very unlikely that you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Go to Tiger or any gym. And just by being around that people,
yeah.
those people, it's going to make a shift in you.
Yeah.
But you then got to, you've got to keep doing the work on your own.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, people don't realize how influential our environment is. Mm. I mean, fuck, we're going deep here. We start talking about epigenetics.
Yeah.
And your environment and the effect yeah. that, like, eating certain foods has on you and, you know, like, just everything, your environment, man. Like, how you respond to your environment.
Yeah. I want to talk about that, responding to your environment. Here's why. A lot of people will be watching this and listening to this going, oh, very inspiring, guys, but I don't want to be JP training every day, and I don't want to be Coach Cobes. I'm a guy, I've got my business, I've got my family, I've got my mates, so yay to you, super inspiring, but I can't connect to this. I was actually going to ask you a question based on the choices that I'm currently making in my life, and happen to touch on a video that you talk about the same thing, and that's going out. Mm-hmm. I believe everything in moderation, as in whatever makes your life feel in balance. The goal isn't in life isn't to be perfect. It doesn't exist. The goal is to feel that, am I optimized and am I in balance? Do I feel wealthy, healthy, happy? For me, I can go out, have a drink, have a party. You know, you live in Thailand, it's very easy to get swept up, you know. Mm-hmm. Thailand can swallow you in even. But all of my life I've done that, but I don't do it all the time. To my clients and our students, what I try to encourage them to do is say, look, we're not expecting you to be a fitness junkie. You can still go out every now and again. For me, what makes it not a cost is I do it in a way that it doesn't feel out of balance. So in terms of frequency, but also the next day I get straight back on the fucking wagon.
Yeah.
Like, how do you approach this? Because I know it was almost like, it was cool to see that you mentioned in one of your videos, mm-hmm. Oh, I just had a big night last night, Tiger barbecue, beat down, went out yeah. with friends, Patong. I'm like, oh, I connect with him on that level too. So what's your thoughts on that? Like, for people that are watching, that are business people, like the odd drink, and how important is it to get straight back on it the next day, as opposed to eat more sugar, eat more carbs, be lethargic?
Well, I mean, again, need to ask that question, like, who am I? Am I this yeah. person that, you know, shows up and keeps myself in the game and does the things that I need to do? Or am I the person that, you know, goes out and drinks every weekend and takes 3-4 days to fucking recover from it, and yeah. then I repeat it the next week? Like, who are you? What actions do I need to take and to become the person that I need to become? Yeah.
Well, short, clear, and concise answer.
I don't know where else to go from there, bro.
Only in the last few years, I've really tapped into...
I mean, sorry, just to pause you there. Like, these days, I go out, I make a conscious decision that I'm going out that night.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be with my friends, I'm going to blah, 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 whatever, wherever the fucking night takes me. But I know that, you know, I'm going to be recovering from that for a couple of days.
Mm.
Right, that's a conscious decision that I'm making ahead of time.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's...
And I know professional athletes that go out. You know, I remember seeing pro cyclists that won the biggest race in South Africa. I went to this race as a kid, I was 17, 18 year old, went to a club afterwards, and I saw the winners of the race smoking cigarettes. And they were like in their 20s, you yeah. know, the top paid athletes. So I think it's not about what you do, it's about how often you do what you yeah. do, how you feel about what you do, and how you recover from what you do.
Yeah.
Just bringing that balance in. But yeah, so you want to say something?
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, man. Like, like I said, I'm in camp right now, and I want to fight before I turn 38. I'm targeting the 27th of May.
Do you have a fight lined up?
Yeah. Well, I don't have an opponent yet, but I'm...
Kickboxing or mixed martial arts?
MMA.
Where are you fighting?
Beat down, I think. Dude, I'm aiming for that.
What date? May?
27th, yeah. 27th
I'll be there.
May. So I don't know who the opponent's going to be or whatever. Like, I'm just focusing on the process, right? But I'm not drinking for 6 weeks, or for another 6 weeks, and I haven't drunk for 6 weeks. So once I get to the other side, like, maybe I'll drink after I fight, or maybe I'm like, you know what? Feeling if I go out, I'm going to get fucked up and, you know, have a good time, but then I'm going to recover for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, and it's going to hurt me. Is that a decision that I'm willing to make at that point? We'll see.
Yeah, I think it's being conscious about what you're doing.
Exactly. But then, as you said,
intentional.
Exactly, being intentional, right? Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm not going to do, you know, if I'm going to do that, then guess what? There's also these, that also means that I'm going to have my shit squared away prior to that, so that I can, if I need, have a couple of days off.
And understand.
And just like have minimal energy days.
And understand there's benefits and costs around that. So look at how you can keep that balance. I'm very intentional around going out. I don't really go out to just drink. Mm. There has to be a reason for it. Like the last two times in the last 2 months was being taken the team out. And because you're looking forward to it, you know you're going out on that day.
Yeah.
You plan the next few days as well, or for me, 1 or 2 days. And then you just go out and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you focus on recovery coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a Whoop sleep recovery strap or performance strap. For you, how important is the role of sleep in sustaining, not just achieving, but sustaining high performance?
Extremely important, and again goes hand in hand with, you know, good breathing mechanics, because sleep is, that's where we get the majority of our recovery from.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're consolidating all of the information that's come in throughout the day, and then we're making connections with things that we've had, and experiences we've had in the past, and, you know, we're recovering and adapting from, you know, everything. Like, that's where we have so much potential for regeneration.
Yeah.
And if we're not getting good quality sleep, good quantity sleep, if we're missing out on, if we're not consistent with our sleep patterns, you know, if, for example, like, we get the majority of our deep sleep early on in the night. So if one day I go to bed at 10 o'clock and next day is at 11:30 and next night's, if I'm all over the place, then, you know, my circadian rhythm kind of gets a little bit thrown out, and maybe I'm missing out on some deep sleep early in the night. I'm getting plenty of REM sleep, but deep sleep's missing out. Or if I'm getting up earlier, or my waking patterns are all over the place, then, you know, maybe I'm missing out on REM sleep, which is what we get the last couple of hours before we wake up. So sleep's one of those, again, it's a low-hanging fruit, man. Like, people wear a lack of sleep as a badge of honor, you know, but at the end of the day, like, are you optimizing your performance if you're not using that time wisely? And that doesn't, you know, how do you optimize sleep? You need to prepare for it. How do you optimize training? You need to prepare for it. How do you optimize nutrition? You need to prepare for it. Like, you know, you talked about structure earlier. When I know what my non-negotiables are, I know what makes me perform at my best. For me, I get 7.5 hours sleep, round about hour 20, hour 30 deep sleep and REM. I'm fucking sweet, man. I'm firing all cylinders.
120 REM and deep mix together, or 120, 120?
120, 120.
Ah, right.
Yeah, ish. You know, so I don't know. I don't know what my measurements were this morning, but, you know, some days I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit off today. What did I get? All right, sweet. I can miss out on deep sleep. That's why my body's a little bit more tired, a little bit more run down. Right, or maybe I'm missing out on the REM sleep. All right, maybe that's why I'm probably, you know, I'm feeling a little bit like overwhelmed, and, you know, I haven't had that ability to then like push all that information out of the fucking inbox, make these connections, discard what's unnecessary. All right, sweet. Now I'm in a clean space again. It's like deleting your inbox. You know,
for me, it's become everything, man.
Yeah.
I just look at my sleep every day, and you can see, like, interesting what you said, even just things that people wouldn't think, like going to bed at the same time. Just by not going to bed at the same time, your recovery is super, super low.
Yeah.
Even if you get the same amount of hours, it's crazy. I highly recommend that everyone do that if you're looking to perform at your best. You got to go. I'm so grateful for this conversation. This today has been the longest podcast episode that we've done. I appreciate your time. And one more question. What does the term spiritual fitness mean to you?
Spiritual fitness. That is a good question. It's a difficult question.
Because many people say different things, but
give me some examples of some things that people have said.
So in the military, at least in the US military, spiritual fitness is associated to resilience. Mm-hmm. Because you can have physical fitness, mm-hmm. but you know that saying, the heart of a champion. Mm-hmm. It's not from the body of a champion, the mind of a champion, it's the heart. You've got the spirit, the courage. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of answered it already, but yeah, what would it mean to you to be spiritually fit?
To be spiritually fit means to, again, like, be in a constant journey to figuring out who you are, what you stand for, and then structuring your life around that, man.
Love it.
And just, you know, doing the things that are important to you and your family and the people close to you and having impact on those people, like, and you know, focusing only on the things that are within your control. Too many people are concerned about shit that they have, doesn't really fucking impact them. Mm. Only in their minds, man. Like a lot of, you know, are you familiar with Stoic philosophy?
Yeah, man. We didn't get to touch on it, but yeah, I'm a massive Ryan Holiday fan.
Yeah,
this
is
books, not the person.
But. Yeah, same, man. Like, you know, again, if I've only got so much energy to give every day, why the fuck would I give energy to, you know, what my thoughts are on, you know, what people are saying about me behind my back? I don't give a fuck, man. People can say whatever they want about me. Like, I know who I am. I know what I stand for. And those people that I've impacted, they know the same. You know, like, I focus on things that I can influence. If there's things that I can't influence, then, you know, I'm going to try and, if it directly affects me or indirectly affects me, I'm going to try and create a safety net, but I can't dwell on it. You know, I've got to think about it and be like, all right, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do.
Well, I think that's an incredible description for spiritual fitness, and bang on. Thanks so much again, man. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
What's the best way for people to connect with you? YouTube?
Depends. Instagram at coach_cobes. Okay. That's more for, you know, training reels and short coaching reels and stuff that I'm doing with my athletes and things like that. A little bit of personal stuff sprinkled in.
I highly recommend your YouTube. Is it Coach with Cobes as well?
Coach by Cobes, yeah.
Coach by Cobes. Is it Coach? Coached.
Coached.
Yeah, Coached by
Cobes. Oh, no, sorry. YouTube, coach_Cobes. Same as Instagram.
Oh, right.
Or Live, Train, Perform.
Oh, Live, Train, Perform.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of amazing training videos people to see what kind of work that you do. And I'm going to have off camera, off podcast, I'm going to have a coaching conversation with you. Because one thing I don't have here is accountability, mm-hmm. even though I train every day.
Yeah.
But I don't have any accountability, any direction, any guidance, including in the things that I'm doing wrong, which you've picked up on just in this conversation. Thank you so much, man. I know you got to go. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. Please share. Please subscribe. And see you in the next episode.